Blog Talk Radio.
We're done tonight.
God bless you tonight. This is Bible Class Night. This is your host, God Bishop, Mary Bishop X. I want to say to you, Mary and Pearl, I had a visitor in the spirit world. And when Linda came by, she said, tell them that I'm sorry, but I'm happy. And I just want y'all to know that. I want to thank Pearl that made a good speech the other night, Sunday, when we did the Moore service. Mary that spoke. And sometimes when you're close to people, it's hard for you to get them out of your mind, but you don't get them out of your heart. So I'm praying for the Hawkins family. I'm praying for the Williams family. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. And you know, Linda was in a loss of pain. And she told me to tell y'all that the pain is gone. Next Tuesday, directly to you, Mary and Pearl, as I cross over, and I told her, would she be willing? She said, yeah. And I will let her tell you some things that she found out as she crossed over to the other side. I want to tell you tonight, this is Bible Class Night, and we want to share some scriptures with you tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about what happened, what's happening with all these people that are coming in. I want to tell you that if you got a need to plant a seed, I want you to be rich. God wants you to be rich. And God wants some doors to open up for you. If you got a need, you plant it. Whatever you need, God got what you need. And, you know, Mary, you didn't write me and didn't even ask for it, and Pearl didn't either, for the financial covenant. And I forgot to tell y'all about it, but I do have it. That financial covenant. And I was looking for y'all to get it, but you didn't call for it. That's the financial covenant. Man, some of the stuff that happened, I was talking to Brother Jerry and some more people, and they wanted to know what happened. And I'm going to explain it to you tonight and probably go in detail with the finance. What happened for 20 years, Bush was there for 4 years, for 8 years, Obama for 8 years, Trump 2 years, which make 20 years. Now, you want to, they said $2 trillion, but it was like $6 trillion that was spent over there with them folks. Now, you said, well, them people coming, those people was working. They were private contractors. They were sweeping floors. They was making sweeping floors. They was making about $50,000 a month, sweeping floors for the government, cleaning the offices. They had a contract. They called them private contractors. These people left Texas and went to work over there and made, got rich. Talking about $6 trillion. And it wasn't anybody black. It was mostly white. Come from Bush and Cheney, who was running that government then. Yeah, that would happen. Now you want to know what happened? Reason them 13 got killed. Before Trump left office, he got all those ISIS out of prison, let them out. And then, because he thought he was going to win the election, because he's going to make a deal with them. But after he lost and Biden came in and Biden said, I'm going to end this war. $6 trillion in 20 years, we don't show nothing for it. The pharmaceutical company made money. And though the resources over there is cocaine and copper. That's what the resources was over there. So that's what was going on, okay? All that was happening, stuff that was going on. I just want you to know that. This is Bible class now. We won't talk about the Bible. But I want to tell you, Sister Linda says she's out of pain and she's all right. And she's smiling and said, don't worry about me. And I did it to myself. That's what she said. And I asked her, I said, well, what happened? She said, I wouldn't listen to nobody. I didn't listen to what Mary said. I didn't listen to what Pearl said. And Lord can never tell me the right thing. Lord always was agitating, you know, telling me something negative. And I didn't listen. And everybody tried to help me. I didn't listen. That's what she said in the spirit world. Now, when I cross over, I say. Tonight, I want you to get your Bible, get your pencil and paper, and this is the first of September, and then Monday is Labor Day, and every day should be Labor Day, and I'm talking about it Labor Day, because it's a lot going on. There's a lot of people. Lady told me this morning, she got some people, they didn't want to work. They said they wasn't getting enough money. So these corporations, these restaurants, they got to pay people. People ain't working for no $2 an hour or no $4.15. They want $25 an hour. Walmart's finna give $25 an hour. I think $21 or $25 an hour. If you're going to work us as slaves, pay us. And they didn't pay us. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, $1 trillion was spent over in Afghanistan, and a loss of private contractors. You said, Bishop, what is a private contractor? If you go over there and say you teaching school, and they giving you $10,000 a month, or $20,000 a month, teach them kids how to read and write. You're a private contractor. The government was paying private contractors to do somebody that was cleaning up the building. They was making big money as private contractors. The government was paying them. Those that do construction work, private contractors. Those that doing maintenance work, they're private contractors. They was getting paid big money. They was getting like $50,000 a month up to $20,000 a month, but they labeled themselves private contractors. And the government, our government, and our soldiers were watching over them. That means the loss of didn't come back because they were making big money over there. And all those trucks, over 500 trucks, now they say it was 2,000 trucks, 500 SUVs and Humvees. Each Humvee cost $150,000, $200,000. And they left 25 over there. They left guns over there. They left helicopters over there. And they told us, well, they can't, they do nothing with it. Them people can take one tire off one, they can do something with it. And I've seen the day on TV. They were flying the helicopters looking over the thing. So we left over $1 trillion worth of equipment over there. We left over $1 trillion worth of equipment over there with them folks. Over $1 trillion worth of equipment we left with them folks. That's what happened with that. I just want you to know that. So that happened. Now, one of the things I want to talk about tonight before we get into the Bible class, thank you, Mary, for coming back. I don't know, you're in and out. I didn't say nothing. Mary called me after the show. This is what I want to say tonight. I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the money, that this is the first a month. This is the month for you to plant your seed to receive your harvest. Now, if you can plant $1,000 or $500 or whatever you want to plant, once you reach that goal of $1,000, get ready for God to bless you throughout the year, rest of the year. Okay. One lady says she planted a seed and she got a new car. She said, Bishop, I was intending to plant. I just planted $200. But I put in my Bible, I'm going to give up my time. She got the new car. And she wondered, and her credit was so bad, everywhere she went, they said, your credit, got to be your credit count up. I told her on the phone, I said, you see you, and once God get your car. She walked in the dealership, and she told the man, my credit is bad. The man started writing paper. This is for the car. She got the car. Okay. What I'm telling you, when you see, once you release your seed, things happen. And Pearl, I'm glad Pearl on tonight because I'm looking for them potato pies. You know, I'm going to cook a potato pie, but I want to get Pearl potato pie. I was in Detroit. I want to thank them, Brother Carl and Sister Jackie and Dr. Chris and them when I was in Detroit. I mean, they treated me pretty nice in Detroit. I just couldn't stay long to get back. But I had a wonderful time. I will be coming back to Detroit. And right now I'm not going down to New Orleans, Mississippi, all of that. I want you to pray for the people in Mississippi. Pray for the people down in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. They're going through some stuff. They're going through stuff because God is trying to get our attention of what's going on. See, what happened, $6 trillion was spent over in Afghanistan. $1 trillion could have took care of Tulsa, Oklahoma. $1 trillion could have gave reparation to black folks, and they could be in their business now. You could have your own restaurant, your own dealership, your own. The government have gave us the reparation that they promised us, but instead they lied to us and didn't give us the money. So we left with no money. We left with no job. So that's the kind of thing that's been going on with us for a minute. We've been backing up, but we're still coming forward. I told you, it's not good to fool Mother Nature. When you fool Mother Nature, things happen. So what I'm saying to you tonight, this Bible class night, as you read your Bible, God's going to open some doors up for you. I said St. Luke 6:38, Matthew 6:33. I got it some more wrote down. And as you read the Bible, it's going to open up some doors for you. And I just want to share that with you tonight, that God is able to give you the blessing that you need. And I'm up the door for you. And that's what he'll do.
God bless you tonight. This is Bible class night. And if you're doing tonight, you can call us and hook up the box 20909 Southern Chicago, Illinois, 60628. This is Bible class night. And I want you to be motivated and stimulated. And we're reaching up for the Bible. You can call me. At Father God, we come tonight to pray for every man, every woman. Those that need help, those that need a little. God, pray the hand of God, pray for the Holy Spirit, God. Touch every body, every man. Let them begin to go to the next level in prayer. We're going to the full moon. We're asking you to save your house. And tomorrow, the full moon, Thursday, the full moon, get ready to clean your house. Psalms 119, East, West, North, and South, read that.
As God opens doors for you tonight, I want you to be ready for the blessing that God got for you. And I got to talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma, with all this $6 trillion that was spent. If they had gave you that money, you could have had your hotel. You could have had your business. So I have to talk about the $6 trillion that was given to Afghanistan. And all them people come back. You say, how come all them people come back? Them people had been trained to be American. They was trained to be doctors, lawyers. They was going to school. So they didn't want to stay over there because they don't want them to go to school over there. So it's a struggle all the way.
More than 1,000 homes and businesses burned to the ground. Tonight, the president saying just because history is silent doesn't mean it didn't take place. Also tonight, the news on the coronavirus in the U.S. Moderna and putting words to what happened there 100 years ago today. One of the most horrific events in U.S.
See, that was happened 100 years ago. It's 2021. They're just telling you that a white angry mob come and kill blacks because blacks had banks. They had insurance companies. They had meat houses. They had business. They didn't need the white folks for nothing. They was going on their own. The only thing that Malcolm said I agree with, if blacks had been armed, it would have been a different story. It would. They said 300 was killed. More than 300 was killed. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you got in your business, you got to protect it. Don't get caught up in this Christianity that God going to help you. God going to help you to help yourself. When you got something, you got to protect it by any means necessary. And I think what happened in Tulsa, those people felt that they didn't have to fight because they've been fighting all the way from Africa. They've been trying to make it, but racism and white supremacy, you've seen it wide open 100 years ago. The same thing happened in Natchez, Mississippi. It was killed. I can show you the place. But ain't nobody said nothing about that. But the people that were killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they were bombed, killed. Churches bombed. They were shot. They were killed. And the president, and now another president, all the presidents, it's been 100 years that God brought the truth out through Biden to say it was wrong. Now, when the government say it was wrong, it should have been some reclamation to put those buildings back, the church, the banks, the restaurants, everything that they had in Greenwood, Wall Street. See, they took Wall Street and named it New York. Well, it was Black Wall Street in Tulsa. White, they stole that and called Wall Street up in New York. But they stole that from that, because they didn't know Wall Street.
U.S. history, the Tulsa Race Massacre, a thriving black community destroyed, set on fire by a white mob, killing an estimated 300 black Americans, burning more than 1,000 homes and businesses to the ground. Late today, President Biden saying he was there to, quote, shine a light to make sure America knows the story in full, saying what happened was not a riot, but a massacre, and promising policies on housing, on schooling, and promising help for small business owners. And this powerful animation tonight from the New York Times of the 100 block of Greenwood Avenue in Tulsa, what was destroyed, the dentist office, the confectionery, the newspaper, the insurance company, the tailor on the right. Down the street here on the left, you'll see the famous Dixie Theater, the parlor, the billiards, the law firm, the barbershop, all burned down and destroyed. Late today, we learned the president met privately with the three known survivors from 101 to 107 years old. Viola, Mother Fletcher, she was just 7 at the time. Her brother, Hugh's uncle, Red Van Ellis, he was just a baby. And Mother Randall, Leslie Bedingfield Randall, she was 6 at the time. And tonight, these images coming in, digging resuming today at a site believed to be a mass grave for some of the hundreds who were killed. The president today saying that's what great nations do. They come to terms with their dark side, arguing we must know our history. ABC's Marcus Moore leads us off tonight from Tulsa. Tonight, acknowledging a tragedy long overlooked in American history, President Biden traveling to Oklahoma to honor the lives lost and forever changed by the Tulsa Race Massacre, the first president in 100 years to do so.
For much too long, the history of what took place here was told in silence, cloaked in darkness. But just because history is silent, it doesn't mean that it did not take place.
Starting the night of May 31st, 1921, an angry white mob stormed from Tulsa's Greenwood neighborhood, also known as Black Wall Street, 4 hours. More than 1,000 homes and businesses were destroyed, an estimated 300 black Americans killed, all after allegations that were never proven, that a black man assaulted a white woman in an elevator. Today, what no president has ever done, standing in Tulsa, putting words to the horror of what happened.
100 years ago, at this hour, on this first day of June, smoke darkened the Tulsa sky, rising from 35 blocks of Greenwood that were left in ash and ember, raised in rubble. Through the night and in the morning, the mob terrorized Greenwood, torches and guns, shooting at will. A mob tied a black man by the waist to the back of their truck with his head banging along the pavement as they drove off. A murdered black family draped over the fence of their home outside. An elderly couple knelt there praying to God with their heart and their soul, and they were shot in the back of their head.
Today, proposing policies to begin to level the playing field on housing, education, and investing in small businesses, including those run by black and brown entrepreneurs.
The only way to build a common ground is to truly repair and to rebuild.
Today's visit coming after days of events.
The one. See, that means that government owe black folks reparation. It means that black folks need to get reparation from the government. Don't think the government giving you welfare. The government giving you what they owe you, what they stole from our ancestors. If you get a grant from the government, business, amount, hey, that's what you owe us. $6 trillion over there to Afghanistan. Them people ain't did nothing. Our ancestors picked cotton in Mississippi. Our ancestors had sugarcane in Louisiana, tobacco in Virginia, corn in Illinois. That's what we do. It ain't nobody giving you nothing. They just paying back our ancestors what they owe. 40 acres in the mule. So we never did get paid. The people didn't get paid for Tulsa, Oklahoma. All them blacks that was killed. And we still waiting on reparation. Okay? I just want to say that where you might know where we at and what we should be doing where you won't get it twisted. Where you know that we should be asking for reparation for what happened to our ancestors. So that's important to understand that you, me and you, is standing for what they owe our ancestors. That's a good thing. We have to stand for it because it's owed to us. So look, it's owed to our ancestors. So we have to stand for what we supposed to get. So what I'm saying to you tonight, that the 40 acres and the mule won't go. We want reparation. Give us our money. We can start our own business. We can set up our shop. we can never set up. Don't give me no job. Give me the money. You gave Jews the money. You gave Italian the money. You gave everybody their reparation but the black man. And you destroyed the black man more you destroyed anybody because the black man was him. So what I'm saying, it's good to say it's 100 years it was wrong. The government need to give the money. When Dr. King said we're going to Washington to get the money, it's time for us, it's time for the government to pay back reparations. If you can spend $6 trillion over in a foreign country and they don't like you, and you got brothers and sisters right here in America, ain't got no job, and when other people coming in this country getting welfare, getting food stamps, getting a check, and we can't get nothing. So what I'm saying tonight is important for them to give black folks what they do. Now, if you got a need, you plant a seed. I'm going to talk about seeding and reaping, and once you seed and reap, doors will open up for you. And I just want you to do that quick, fast, and in early. Now, I'm praying for you to be a millionaire. Musa, Master Musa, was a rich man. He was black. He cared enough people with him to be like Chicago or New York. He go into town and bankrupt. He go into town to make everybody rich. When he leaves, everybody is rich. That's the kind of money he had. Well, no Bill Gates, this was a black man in Africa a long time ago.
Richest man in the world was Musa. Master Musa was the richest man in the world. And he seeded to the world. He seeded to people he didn't know. He seeded to cities and countries. So seeding is a thing that we got to do. And I want to tell you, welcome to the new life of giving, reaping, and sowing. The richest empires in Africa, it was Master Musa, the richest man in the world. Master Musa tithed gold, millions of gold, in his, over in Southern Africa. He was black. And I want to tell you that you can be a person to do the same thing and know how to do it.
One of the greatest empires of that time. Although it was not the biggest, like the Roman Empire, they were definitely a key piece economically and religiously. This time we're focusing more on their greatest
ruler,
the richest man that ever lived, as some sources say. He ruled the Mali Empire for 25 years, between 1312 and 1337, and led them into prosperity and serious development. There weren't many African empires, but the Mali Empire was the most important. Mansa Musa was a very important emperor and conqueror at that time, and he's still remembered to this day for all of his achievements, and most of all, his lavish lifestyle and wealth. If you're new here, welcome. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at ALUG.
Musa was the richest man in the world, and he was black. But he understood the law of sowing and reaping. If you got seed, you sow your seed, things happen. And I want to talk a little bit about the rich man, Master Luther. Before I talk about it, I want to talk about some of the stuff that you intend. What I'm saying to you right now, if you got a need to plant a seed, Proverbs 4:21, 22, 23. I want you to get ready because it's running faith. And I want to tell you right now, you got to have the key to know how to open that door to where you might be a supplier. Say the word supplier. If you got seed, you have to sow them. Some of you ain't never sold over a dollar. Come out. $10, come out $1,000, $2,000. If you got the need, you plant the seed. If you hold the money, and God wants what you wrong. That you say, well, I can get it together. Now, he don't want to tell me you're going to throw away. He wants you to give the best. I'm planting this seed in good soil. And I'm going to pray that this year, 27 people, if you plant your seed of $1,000 in June, July, August, is a turnaround for you, and you're going to be rich. And what I mean by that, you would never have left. And if you just have faith and go in the spirit room, you'll open up that key where you will be rich with money. You might not have nothing now, but you said you make a vow. I'm gonna see $1,000 to this ministry, and I'm gonna wait on God. And if you see Philippians 4:13, if you begin to see God will make sure that whatever you need will happen. What I like about Master Musa, he was the richest man in the world, but he was the most important man that sowed seed all over the world. He had thousands of camels, thousands of slaves, and when he moved, a whole city moved, 10,000 camels, 100,000 people with gold, and when he walked into a city, he planted seed to everybody. Everybody came in his vibration, he gave it. So what I'm saying to you, you got to be able to, for your miracle, to understand the miracle that God got for you and what God's going to do for you. First, you got to be able to seed for your miracle. What I mean seed, you got to give it. Shake down, pressure, got running over. God will give to you that the measure that you didn't give back to you. So you got to throw some seeds out. And I want to tell this story where you might understand the key to seeking for your miracle is to see to take your seed and put them out there. You say, well, Bishop, I don't have $1,000. If you begin to give $10, $20 till you reach that $1,000, once you reach $1,000, you don't see that $1,000, all you got to do is expect your miracle. Expect your harvest gonna come in. Your harvest might be a house, car. Your harvest might be good health. The harvest might be your friend, your husband, your wife, your children. You got to expect the power of God and walk in faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a certain thing, hope for the thing that be. What I need you tonight, so bitch, I'm going to plant that seed of $1,000. I'm going to do it because I know God's going to give me, as long as you don't plant this seed, your business is going to grow, the new house. All of that going to grow because you took time out and planted the seed. You took time out and you did what the commandment said. You obeyed God, the law of God. This is a law. The law of seeding and reaping. When you get ready to reach your harvest, can nobody stop that? But that's your harvest. And, you know, when you plant your seed, and we're going to put it on good ground, and I want you to see for your miracle. Luke 6:38, and 100 number of sons is up to be the Lord is my God. You got to seek, man, woman. You got to seek. I know you got millions of dollars, but that ain't gonna count. God wants to give you a better. Let me tell you what happened. Me and Bishop Moore went out, and Bishop Moore went all the way back in Texas. We stopped the Cena. I think Bishop Moore made lots of money. And I made $1,000. I was happy. Got this $1,000. I can get some gas in the car. I can do some things. When I got back to the church that Sunday, old ragged organ, old ragged piano, and God said, Bishop, just like I'm talking to you, give that $1,000. I was thinking him for it last night, but this morning, Sunday morning, he said, give it to the church. That's good. You sure you're talking to me? Talking to you. I got up Sunday morning, so I want to see this $1,000 for a new organ and a piano. So when I did that, Bishop Moore got up and he seated $1,000. I guess God talked to him too. That $2,000 we seated to the piano and organ. And I said, everybody get up and to see and see $100. They popped up that popcorn. And what I'm saying, we seated it. When we got to eat, I was very quiet. Bishop Moore said, you're very quiet. I said, yeah. No, I see that my money was gone, but I didn't say nothing. That month there, man drove on a church lot and said, I'm looking for Bishop trying to ask me. That Mercedes out there, here's the key to it. No, you pray for my daughter. She healed from drug addiction. Look at the seed up there. I went on with that. I thank God for that. On my way to Run a Revival in Yazoo City, Mississippi, down and do rent all through there. And when I got there, Mother Gibson, she's a soul gone now. Mother Gibson's a bishop. The lady wants you to come and pray for her land. The lady had all kind of land. I stood out and prayed, lifted my hand to God. I got through as Lord, thank you for this land that this woman had given from her family. Thank you for it. Then I prayed for her. After I prayed for her, the oil company come. She had a mother load of oil on that land. But I prayed that God bring a mother load to her. So she had oil on the land. So when we get through praying, the lady come in her kitchen, $10,000. She seeded $10,000. To my ministry. And I thank God I gave Mother Gibson $5,000. And I went on and kept on moving. Sometimes you have to see, and you don't see what your seed gonna bring, the harvest. The harvest bought her a mother load of oil because she had the prophet to come and pray for that land. And I want to tell you right now, sometimes you have to see and name what you want. And once you name what you want, you get what you want. And you say, I'm seeking for my miracle. I'm seeking my miracle. Once you see, you seek for your miracle. So that happens. Now, I want to say to you, Master, Musa Master, was richest man in the world. He was black. And everywhere he went, he seeded trillions of dollars. He messed the economy up everywhere he went. He had a concubine. He had 140 camels and had a whole city. Just say half the city of New York rolling with him. He rolling tough.
Verse 2. He conquered over 24 cities. Musa Musa took the throne after his predecessor died. He was the first ruler from the Lay lineage and the man that established the empire as a true Islamic state. However, he did not force or impose anyone to adopt the faith he believed in. His entire adult life was dedicated to his job as emperor, ruler, and conqueror. In order to keep the empire at bay and stable, he conquered over 24 cities in 10 countries from West Africa. His military actions were intense at some times and very consistent. He seized quite a bit of the region, including some parts of the Sahara Desert. You can imagine his kingdom was rich, and with that land and wealth, everyone started to learn about him. Fast forward hundreds of years into 2018, and we still remember him. Other than Napoleon, Julius Caesar, or Alexander the Great, there are not many men out there that conquered so many cities. Number 3, he found...
1921 and 22, we're still talking about Master Musa. made the first college, the first university, a black man, the richest man in the world. So I want to say to you, black man, you are able to get what you want. So I want to tell you, get ready for to be a millionaire. Get ready to be able to be a supply house. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Whatever you put your mind to, it can happen quick, fast, in the heaven for you. If you just understand that the God in you gives you the ability to do that. And I pray for you. Let me pray now. Father God, right now, the spirit of Master Musa, the spirit of him that touched these people, that those that want to be millionaires, the angel, that his spirit will encompass them that will seed. He was a giver. He seeded. And if you seed, whatever you want, you're getting the harvest going to come quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Other than Napoleon, Julius Caesar, or Alexander the Great, there are not many men out there that conquered so many cities. Number three, he founded the first university in the region. As we mentioned before, Mama Luther was not your typical emperor. He made sure that his kingdom was prosperous, safe, and large. He was an avid Islamic believer, but at the same time, a promoter for education and learning. In his travels and battles, he learned the importance of development and innovation, so he founded the first university in Timbuktu. He started huge building programs for raising mosques and madrasas, educational institutions in Arab that climaxed with the building of the university at Sankor, where they brought in jurists, astronomers, and mathematicians, as well as Islamic professors. The university became a center of learning and art, with Muslim students coming from both Africa and the Middle East.
I just
they
got
the largest collection
of revelation knowledge. Those that will write me, I'm going to send you a financial covenant that with Master Musa that will be a blessing for you. And your seed will outgrow your need. I'm going to do that right now. Those that write me, you have to write me. My post office box, 28, my post office box, I want you to write me because I want you to receive the letter of financial covenant, the letter. I am the spirit of Master Musa. Musa Master will be there on that letter for you. And I want you to receive what I got for you. And it'll work. I'm going to write his name right here on this letter. And when you read that name and call that name out, what you want is going to be a spirit that will overtake you and make you a millionaire. Yes, a millionaire. And his spirit will be with you. Now, I'm saying that his spirit will open up a door for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when his spirit opens up the door for you, you're able to help somebody else if you just seed what you need to seed. I want to get this letter to you, Mary, and everybody that call, I want to get it to you. St. Luke 6 and 38. I want to get this to you. And I want this to be overflow for you. This man's spirit, I want to invoke his spirit on this letter. And whatever you need, I want to set it to the next level. And I want to let you know, shake down, put it together, run over. God's going to give to you quick, fast, in the hurry. I'm going to get this letter to you where it can be a blessing for those that wanted. This is a financial covenant. And I want you to be able to reach this financial covenant where whatever you need But I ought to give it to you by, see, the trillion, let me say it again, the trillion dollar flow. And I want right now that as you receive this letter, this financial covenant that I'm going to send out to you, it's going to be a blessing to them that touch it. Then I'm going to pray over it and send it to you. But you got to call me and say, Bishop, mail it to me.
And once you want something to work for you, you're going to work quick, fast, and you're going to work in a hurry.
God bless you tonight. This is Father Claire's night. If you're still tonight, you can call us.
I'm going to get the Bible class night. It's Bible class night. You might want to write us.
Call for Illinois, 602-628. Call for Illinois. Call for 28-9097. Call for Illinois, 602-628. You can call 708-582. All 3-2. If you got a seed, you know, go to my website, www.abrahamwebsite.com. So I'm praying for you tonight. I want to let you know, praying for you, you and you. Get ready as we entertain you to lift you up. Talk about a little that and a little that. But we want to say all is well. Father God, we come tonight to pray for every man, every woman. Those that need help, those that need help. God, Abraham, the God, Satan, the Holy Ghost, God. Touch the great body of the man. Let him begin to go to the next level in prayer. We're going to the full moon. We're asking you to set your house. And tomorrow, the full moon, Thursday, the full moon. Get ready to cleanse your house. Psalms 119, East, West, North, and South, read that. I want to motivate and stimulate you that all of you got to meet to kind of see. And I want to tell you, all is well. God will take care of you. And with all that's going on, God is still in control.
You will always keep on scraping, peeling paint. Once you understand, family, that racism and cultural supremacy preceded the enslavement of Africans and the Americas, then you come to the fact that the only solution, everybody say, the only solution, brothers and sisters, for our predicament is
for
us to change the framework of the color hierarchies through which people have learned to judge one another. People have learned to screen one another as well as every other aspect in their world. You've got to change the framework that causes you to think the way you do. We got black folk who honestly operate within a framework that the lighter your skin, the better you are. Look at somebody near you and say, there's something wrong with that. We got to get rid of that kind of thinking. Without a working appreciation, controlling the behavior of the masses. In fact, if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see that I posted an Episcopal priest there from North New Jersey who is telling everybody now that he's retired, he's letting everybody know that hell is an invention of the church. Couldn't so very well say that when he was
active because they could remove him. But here we have a theologian who's letting us know that this whole thing of religion is nothing more than a control mechanism. It's for the sake of controlling the behavior of those who are vulnerable to the concept that God is or will be pleased or is not or will not be pleased with you if you don't fulfill a certain set of standards and rules. And you know how we do that, man. We grow up hearing that God is angry because of our behavior. God is not pleased with something that we did. God is going to get us. They put this fear factor in us. It's really deep how that works, man, because the way we were taught as though God's decisions about us are based on the events that take place in our lives. We were taught that God makes decisions about us based on the decisions that you make. That's what we were taught. We were taught that God does not know what we're going to do. Now, we weren't actually told that. But in essence, we're taught that God is getting tired of what you're doing, like God didn't know you were going to do it. My only intention is to tell the truth. But sometimes the truth hurts. Especially when you say something that snatches the rug from under a person or crushes the foundation of what they stood on for so long. It can be painful. And many times, as a result of not knowing how to handle that pain, the messenger often becomes the target of our emotions. It's okay. I can take you being upset with me. Just do one thing, and that is don't take my word for what I said. Go verify it for yourself. You'll be all right. Whenever a chick is breaking out of the shell of its ignorance, it's a tedious task, but it has to happen. The one thing I've never seen a chick break out of the shell and then run back inside. Never seen that. Well, when you start finding out the truth, you want to go back. Look at the person near you and say, but you can't. Once the eye of the mind has been opened, you might try to close it, but you can't. Today's message is entitled Christianity versus African Consciousness. Let me tell you how I came upon that. As a result of our experiences in the movement for African liberation, the opposition and the resistance, the expressed hatred by many over the dissemination of our story, our African story. I find out, because that person said to me, why don't you say African consciousness versus Christianity? I said, no. African consciousness has never been against Christianity or any religion.